B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
High noon across the Delaware Valley. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. It's Cuz Radio with Chunis. Chunis got chills.
Yes.
You got chills.
Yeah, I've been. I'm finishing up the playback in the studio right now, and we're doing the Eagles Falcons game from the divisional round. And I got the last two plays. I'm about to finish up.
Wow!
So obviously, I'll be playing this throughout the playback, pretty much.
Wow! I love it.
So I'm fired up.
I love it. Oh, it's fantastic. I can't wait for it. 12:30. This is Super Bowl week. Our final playbacks. Right now, pretty cool. We lead up to Friday in the Super Bowl. Should be a blast. You see Pat Egan in there?
Yeah, he's right here.
I got a question for Pat.
What's up?
Did you see Beach Bum?
No, it looked terrible.
With Matthew McConaughey?
No, it looked really bad.
You of all movies, you didn't see that movie?
It looked so bad.
So I watched it. And I can't... I'm trying to think if I liked it or not.
Well, I don't have baseball to watch tonight, so.
I know.
I'll baseball. Check it out, and I'll report back.
You got to be in a weird mood for it.
It looked like one of those movies.
It was It was weird.
I'll check it out tonight.
It was interesting. I don't think I hated it. I don't know if I liked it.
Did you watch it on Hulu?
I watched it. Yes, I guess it was
Hulu. Yeah, I watched Palm Springs on Hulu.
What's that?
It's Andy Samberg. It's trippy.
Is it?
Yeah, it's very good.
All right.
Yeah, that's the Hulu movie to watch.
Yeah, I also saw, what was it called? It was, you know, the director that did Parasite?
Oh, Bong Joon-ho.
Right. He also did a movie about... It's like a post-apocalyptic movie about a
Snowpiercer.
Yes.
Yeah.
The train.
Yeah, I own it.
You own Snowpiercer?
Yeah, I watched it in 2013.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm impressed.
All right.
So I hadn't seen it, and I watched it, and I liked it a lot.
They actually have a show on TNT called Snowpiercer.
Off the train?
Yeah, based on the train. Very good.
So the concept is, for those people who don't know Snowpiercer, the concept is... It's an ice age hits. And the only way that life, humanity can survive is on this train that can't stop moving. The train has to keep moving. And it circles the globe.
Yeah, it's an interesting premise.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Yeah, the TV show is good, though.
Is it?
Yeah, I was surprised because it's on TNT, but it's good.
The movie's a little campy at times, but it was... I liked the whole premise. I thought it was pretty good. Oh, good. I'm glad.
I agree.
All right. Watch the Beach Bum. See what you think about
it. I'll check it out.
My cousin told me about it. It was bizarre. Like, just bizarre. I can't tell if I liked it or not type of thing. You ever have a movie like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Pat.
Oh, no problem.
Appreciate it. I know the Chunis didn't see either of those.
No, I blacked out during that conversation.
When I said Snowpiercer, you thought I said Eric Snow.
Yeah, exactly. Piercer. I was too busy watching like 1970s baseball that day.
Football in a European bubble. Can I ask you, and we're going to go to the phone lines, 610-632-0975. You want to join us? So I'm throwing it by a couple of NFL guys, and... Interesting. I think they're into it.
Yeah, why not?
If the league
off the ground, of course.
The idea is it's a bubble, all right? And the bubble is in Europe. You have England and Germany. And the places where you've played. You also want to grow the game in Western Europe. So why not take advantage, because they have a handle on COVID, and just send the whole operation to Europe? Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, what do I care? I mean, if there's no, there's really not going to be any fans in attendance anyway. I'm anti-fans in attendance, period. So, yeah, take it out there. Now, of course, the, you know, the members of the European government would have to okay it. Obviously, we see what happened with Canada. They're like, no, the Blue Jays aren't playing here because we don't want the Miami Marlins here, which was probably a good decision on their part because they, you know, listened to their leadership. So it'll be interesting to see if the European government would be okay with that. That would be the start. But yeah, I mean, who cares? I don't really care if there's fans in attendance or not. Out there, you might actually be able to have fans. So if people are all about having fans, well, what do I care if the Eagles are playing in Lithuania? You know, the Eagles are playing, period. I'm in.
Yeah,
times would be different.
I don't know how, with baseball the way it is, how the hell are you going to play football?
Unless you bubble off.
The only way you can do it is to bubble off.
Mm-hmm. It's the only
way.
You
can't. Baseball showed you. It's the first weekend and you ran into problems.
Yeah. And they're all expecting there to be a spike come November, come flu season. And guys are going to sit out from games because they're being worried.
You got a problem now. And there is no attack. You can't. It's the biggest issue is you without a bubble, you can't control that many people. So I give you Europe.
I'm in.
And I think, look.
When are we doing a show there?
They wanted to establish that market. Obviously, London. They want to put a team in London. Well, why not just go set up shop there? And just go play. Now, I know their time difference. That's an issue.
That would be the big thing.
Because
yeah.
When do you play Sunday night football? You got to play a game at 2 o'clock in the morning?
No, they would play Sunday night football there. And it would be Sunday 2 o'clock football here.
No, but they wouldn't. But the time slot for, it's all about TV.
Right, I get that. But there's no way they can't force the players to play at 2 in the morning. There's no way.
But again, it's about NBC's not paying you for a 2:30 game.
Yeah, but then again,
they're paying you for prime time.
There's no way that the Players Association would sign off on that.
I don't know.
No way.
Who knows?
You are looking live at 2 in the morning in England.
Well, you know, you got to live on USA to New York Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, there's no way they would sign off on that. I don't think so, at least.
Well, again, could you imagine?
Oh, I'm...
Guys,
yeah. The guy that's been on the bench all game.
Yeah.
He's asleep.
All right, real quick. And then hockey in the summer. VG thumbs down hockey in the summer. Said summer's for baseball and lovers.
Great answer.
That's what VG said.
Great answer.
I love pucks in the summer. I love hoops in the summer. Stein, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stein.
What's up, Cuz? Been a while.
Where you been, Stein? What's going on, man?
I've been in quarantine. I've been watching replays of the Flyers for 5 months now. I was going to call yesterday. I can't believe I watched the live game yesterday. It was amazing.
Wasn't it great?
I can't believe it. And they looked like they were playing the entire pandemic. They looked fit, ready, fast. Everything was spot on. It was great.
It's going to be fantastic having it back, man. It's going to be fantastic, brother.
I can't. And I have something to tell you. You know how the first time I came on this show was because I was bashing the Sixers?
Yes.
So I had a little revelation. I've been working this whole time in the hospital and stuff, and I always wanted to come home and watch sports. And I love my city so much, I got rid of my hate, and I'm going to trust the process. Junis, play the song.
Wow, the sky! I love it, sky! We just made a conversion! Oh, that's fantastic! fantastic, Steve. You just made my day.
Also, I'm on a podcast called John Street Hockey, and we're going to be talking about the Flyers the whole way to the Stanley Cup.
There you go.
George Street Hockey.
I like it. Good luck with it, brother.
You too.
I'll talk to you during the playoffs, right?
Let's go. Trust it.
I love it. Good job, Stein. How about that?
Wow.
Stein, a staunch hockey lover and hoop hater.
Yes, big time.
Said, play the song, Junis.
About that.
Wow.
That'd be the best thing I hear all day.
Look at that. That's impressive, man. Here's a little bit better news, though. You ready? This from the NBA. Press release. Of the 344 players tested for COVID-19 on the NBA campus since test results were last announced on July 20, zero have returned confirmed positive tests.
I mean, the bubble works.
That means the 2019-20 NBA season resumes tomorrow, July the 30th. New Orleans, Utah, 6:30.
First.
Lakers, Clippers, 9 o'clock, TNT doubleheader tomorrow, baby. That's a celebration tomorrow.
It's amazing. Yeah, I can't wait. Other good news, even though it's still early, second round test came back negative for the Phillies.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for
you. That doesn't do anything for you?
No.
Really? I get the incubation period.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I expect him to come back negative.
All right. But
tell me on Friday and Saturday, okay, and I'm all right.
But according to Ken Rosenthal, another player for the Marlins tested positive. So yeah, they now have 16.
Well, they had 19, I heard.
Well, 16 players, excuse
right.
me. 16 players and the coaches.
Yeah. Yeah, see? Every day, more and more people are testing positive. So, you know, I gotta get a week out until I feel better about them. It was interesting. I heard a columnist talk about it was like one of these national columnists, and they thought, you know, hey, nobody's getting sick, so play. And I found that pretty odd, like a national columnist said that because people weren't getting sick, players weren't going to then play. The problem is that Freddie Freeman was really sick.
Yeah. Like
I don't understand that mentality.
Yeah, you can't go, oh, well, the majority are asymptomatic, so just play. Not because what happens if that one guy gets it?
Right.
Now you look like a fool.
Right. So anyway, but that's good news. We're gonna start some ball tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait. They had to get Zion first, didn't they? They just had to. Oh, by the way, did you hear that during the broadcast yesterday? Porzingis forgot to take his test the other day.
Yeah, I'm that stupid.
Come on, man.
Kristaps.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I was out on them calling him Zinger all day yesterday.
Yeah, I hate that too.
I was out on that.
I'm out on
Zinger. Hour. Yeah. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Come on.
Love the Owl. Don't love the Zinger. I love Pete in Princeton. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. PD!
What's up, guys? How are you?
How you been, brother?
Good. My question, my thought today was about the 100 list and how is your provincial. I listened to two other NFL teams, you know, like you guys, you know, in the city broadcast of radio, and they were doing the same thing we were. Like, this guy belongs on the list, and
right,
how is this guy on the list, and that kind of stuff. But I also think we're provincial based on our like, for example, we argue in Philly that Carson Wentz has no one around him. It's almost like he has no one. He's just by himself. But at the same time, we say no Lane Johnson on the list. We had the best offensive line in football. We had the best tight end group in football. But Carson has no one around him. He's all by himself. Well, we can see the same argument. And by the way, Dak did throw for 1,000 more yards, more touchdowns, and had a higher quarterback rating. And But we're provincial because why is, and by the way, the Eagles won one more game than Dallas did. But the reason is because Dallas, in my mind, has more around them than Carson does. Well, let me ask you this, and let's assume that Foles wins the job in Chicago. What offensive group do the Chicago Bears have that are better than the Philadelphia Eagles? Offensively, defensively, special teams. The answer is zero. But if Carson has a better year than Nick Foles, oh, Carson, Nick Foles has no one around him. So we're very provincial and very defensive of our guys. And I think that's true not only with the NFL, but provincial. Even that guy you had on, Ant, he was talking about, if this guy doesn't drop a pass, Carson beats Atlanta. If this guy doesn't drop a pass,
right.
If Lewis Matoli left out, he left the Seattle Saints game when Foles guy dropped the ball and it turned to an interception.
Yeah.
This is why we're provincial with our own guys. He purposely left out a playoff drop and was talking about an Atlanta drop early in the season, but left out that because you know what I'm saying, man?
I do think they are, I think you're right. I think we are provincial. I think all these, you know, every city there's a degree of provinciality. I think that's true. I do think, and I'm curious because what you think. I did look at those Eagles receivers. I mean, they are maybe the worst I've ever seen that group. I mean, you can say what you want about Prescott. Prescott has a top two running back, which opens up space. And he's got really Gallup, and you know, if you just take Gallup and Cooper, I mean, they're light years better than what Wentz had last year.
Right. So if they have a great running back, a great receiving core, and a quarterback that throws for 1,000 more yards, are you telling me that Dallas is better than Philadelphia?
We know their offense is better than the Eagles' offense.
Well, I would hope that's what we would say, but we're very provincial and going, hey, guess what? Eagles play the Cowboys this Sunday. I think the Eagles going to win. You know what I'm saying?
Because right.
I'm very provincial about my
without a doubt. I mean, you're right. I mean, part of it too is your fandom that.
That's right.
You know, you're going to want to look at, like if you say to me, Eagles and Dallas are playing Sunday. So automatically my mind has to come up with a way for the Eagles to win. So just because I say the Cowboys are better offensively, my mind then goes, all right, well, they're so depleted defensively that if you get a couple stops, you know, maybe, and a couple of pressures and maybe four stack into a turnover, maybe you get lucky, you know, maybe you win.
And it's almost like we do that all the time. Like for example, like when we talk about the Sixers or the Flyers,
definitely.
It's like, look what's happened over this break. And Joel's in shape and Ben's shooting.
Right.
It's like,
isn't that fandom? Like when we're honestly breaking it down, I do think we can, you know, be rah-rah and be excited. I like to look at it more excited than rah-rah. Right, like this is great. We have a game to look forward to. Let's enjoy it, right? And then when we're actually debating it, kind of look at it like, well, how could the home team win, even if the home team is an underdog and the road team or whatever, they're the favorite, right?
I mean, but you're also smart enough, Ant, to go like for example, when the conversation starts to. The Sixers are well rested, and because the Lakers
are rested, they're going to be cold. That
doesn't fly. It just doesn't fly.
No, I think you're dead right about that. And yeah. I'm a fan. We love our home teams, but I'm a fan of the sport first. Right. Like, I love the sport. The team is second. It's like I love the sport. The fact that the sport exists, I love watching the sport, and I love the home team second. That makes sense?
Right, yeah, exactly. But when the conversation starts to turn to that kind of stuff, it sounds like that we're just talking about
how
everything affects our team, and it's like,
you're
looking at it as
a
fan. It's like, it almost like, kind of like, oh, that's our take.
But yeah, no, you're right. Take, you're 100%. Yeah, I feel you, yeah. PD. Thanks, bro. I appreciate it. Good stuff. No, I mean, I think he's dead right about that. But that goes part, I kind of slough it off as, you know, it's fandom. That's why we get excited for 4 for 4. All right, coming up, you don't want to miss this. This was real. Eagles, Falcons. Very little hope in the first half.
I'm still scared doing the playback.
Very little hope throughout this game. Holding on. That's coming up. Eagles, Falcons, 2017 divisional round. Let me tell you about Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Yes. Oh, my guy Brian and Service First. Look, my air conditioning's putzing around, right? I need something. It's hot, blazing hot, ridiculous summer. Can't have the air conditioned. So what? I call Service First. And Brian comes out, and he's terrific, right? In social distancing, because nobody wants anybody in anybody's house, the whole thing. The masks, clean as can be. But even beyond that, the best at servicing. And he looks it over, and he's, all right, what do you need? Let me give you estimates that could fit your budget. Everybody, money's tight now. So, you know, we're going to give you three different estimates. You also get 0% financing for 72 months on the qualifying systems. Service First also offers, and this is important. I don't know if you guys are like me, but me and particularly my Massimo, we have allergies. Always sneezing and always sniffling. Air purification solutions like air scrubbers, UV lights, media filters. I'm telling you. They are terrific. So, for Service First and heating, and soon to be heating, air conditioning now, you're in Bucks County, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, you got to go to Service First. Trained comfort specialist, Mitsubishi Diamond preferred dealer. Go to ServiceFirstHVAC.com. That's ServiceFirstHVAC.com. And make sure you tell Brian, he's a good 4-for-4 guy, that Cuz says hello.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B75 The Fanatic.
Cuz Radio with Tunis hanging out. Everything that comes over, I all of a sudden I see NFL and I get nervous. With all the updates, where you wonder, all right, well, you know, how are they going to play? I keep going back to it. How are you going to play without a bubble? Baseball's a disaster waiting to happen. You got already first weekend, you got problems. I don't see how they can last. People opting out of football. You got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. That said, we got a little football for you right now. Yeah. Oh, man.
I hear that music and I go nuts.
Well, that's insane. We got to have football this year.
Yeah.
We cannot have football this season. Anyway, we had football in 2017 and it was amazing. We continue the playbacks en route to the Super Bowl parade. We started Monday, the Rams game, the day Carson got hurt. Yesterday was the Christmas night game, Eagles and Raiders, and we were really stricken with fear about how bad the offense looked in Nick Foles. Well, after a bye, the Falcons came to town. And here it was, the date, Saturday, January 13th, 2018, 4:35 p.m. kickoff. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth on the call, NBC. The divisional round. Let's start it off just moments before the opening kickoff. Al and Chris talking about the Eagles fans. Take a listen.
28 degrees feels like 21. And Chris, you and I have talked about it. If they were to win the Super Bowl, that would be a parade for the ages down Broad Street.
We might have to come back for that one. It is a passionate place. And when they start this theme music right here, you've got to be not quite alive to get a few chills up and down your spine here. It's great.
Atlanta won the toss. They deferred. So they'll put their defense up against Foles in the offense. Matt Bosher to kick off. And off we go on a great playoff weekend. Corey Clement takes it at the 2-yard line. And their third down back, Clement brings the ball back out to the 25.
So, when they bring up the parade, I found it, like, fascinating that they would even talk about the parade with no Wentz. Right? Well, it didn't start off well for the Birds. Two plays into the first drive, Jay Ajayi on the carry. Take a listen.
Very windy on this chilly late afternoon, and now they give it on a draw to Ajayi, who started the season with Miami. The ball is loose. The ball is loose at the 26-yard line. The Falcons start to run away as if they've come up with it. Everybody's so signaling, and so do the officials. So after the 42-yard penalty and then Ajayi's first carry is a fumble, and they turn it over right away.
There it is, shooting right out the back, thanks to Ricardo Allen. And then here we go from there.
And Keanu Neal recovers it.
Wow. I can't believe that game started out that way. We were lucky in so many different ways. First of all, you know, we've had some temperate winters. Right? And we were lucky that day was cold and windy, unlike the NFC Championship game the week prior. Because if the NFC Championship game weather is that day, it might have been different. Falcons on offense, just two plays in, quickly go downfield. It's now 3rd and 8 from the Eagles 15. They need to stop.
And that'll make a 3rd down and 8 for Atlanta.
And I just love these moments in this stadium. It's a great championship scene, don't you think? I mean, playoff games here, they get the music going, and the crowd just electrified by it.
This joint's been jumping for an hour and a half. 3rd and 8. Freeman and Coleman are in the game together, flanking Ryan with the play clock at 1. And Ryan from the pocket throws, caught. Short of a first down, and the Eagles think it's incomplete, so it doesn't even matter. Taylor Gabriel never had it to begin with, and it's 4th down.
Big sigh. Falcons up getting a field goal, so Atlanta's up 3-0. Eagles go 3 and out, and we're nervous. Oh, I'm getting nervous all over again. It's now 3rd and 4. Atlanta around midfield. Take a listen.
Now here we go again. And this is the pass rush moment, because for the Atlanta Falcons, where they have issues is exactly where the Philadelphia Eagles are strong. At the guard position, Ben Garland, Wes Schweitzer, and they are going to have to hold up against the likes of Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and others.
3rd and 4. Freeman is the back. Give it to him. And he gets taken down after a gain of 1, and it'll be 4th down. Fletcher Cox right there.
Let me ask you a question, because I thought that game was called horribly for the Falcons. It's 3rd and 4, and you run it with Freeman against the Eagles secondary?
Yeah, not a good decision.
Right?
At that point, because they're still the first quarter. They had the wind to their back. Because remember, the Eagles started going against the wind. Foles threw a couple ducks.
Yes.
So you're like, all right, you got the wind in your back. Yeah, it's a very interesting call.
All right, Eagles with the ball to start the second quarter. Finally, there's a drive. Here's Nick and the offense going down the field.
You know, it's interesting, Al, talking with Nick Foles about this whole thing. He said, you know, I'm a basketball player at heart. That's where he really started. And he said, I never thought about dribbling. You just dribbled. I never thought about shooting. You just took your shot. And I think I was getting a little too mechanical with playing quarterback. And I just want to now get back to reacting and playing and doing the things I was doing then. And I think you're starting to see him settle into that.
Wisniewski is out because he lost his shoe, so Chance Warmack comes in. That pass is caught there by Torrey Smith. Wisniewski is back. Plymouth is in the game. Burton goes in motion. Second and four. Outside, it's Plymouth. Undrafted rookie. Picks up a first down. Balls. Escapes a sack. And throws right on the money. For a gain of about six to Brent Celek. And now look at that play to Aguilar. He takes the handoff and makes it a first down and goal. Beautiful design, stopped by Allen after a big gain of 21.
Hey, 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 how about this? They're going to fake the toss this way and hand it off that way and watch this fast-flow Atlanta Falcons defense all taking off that way except for Brian Poole, who had Aguilar in man coverage.
Wow. Aguilar on the jet sweep? That's the only thing he was good at. Just couldn't catch it.
Exactly.
So here it is. Eagles at the goal line. They go all the way to fourth down. And we forget. But here he is. Big balls, Doug. I might have kicked the field goal here, too. Because it's 3-0. It's 3-0. You at least tie the game. Doug says, nah. Let's go for the lead. And it pays off. Take a listen.
The fourth down play is blunt to the outside. And in he goes for a touchdown. Trey Burton leading the way to the block. 14th play of the drive to give Philadelphia the lead. Jake Elliott for the extra point and hits the upright and he's no good. Missed it.
And all I remember is, you know how it is, a missed extra point is so big with momentum.
Oh, yeah.
In a playoff game, because the first thing you think of is, oh, geez, it's going to come back and haunt me.
Well, he did in the Super Bowl, too.
Yeah.
Come on, Jake.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's 6-3 with Jake missing the extra point. Falcons then come right back down the field. Here they are at the Eagles 6.
Trips to the right. Ryan looks that way. Tries to dump it off and hits Freeman for a touchdown. Moving forward, just staying behind the line of scrimmage, and in they go for the score.
This is an awesome quarterback play. Here goes Freeman right out here, and you're going to see Matt Ryan's going to get sort of turned around, spun around, and then just sort of threw a little jump pass over the top. Spectacular quarterback play.
All right, let me be a little provincial.
This goes out
to our boy Pete. I love Pete from Princeton. But I got to do it. Is it me or is this Chris Collinsworth seem a little too happy?
Yes, he does.
Ah, what a spectacular play by Matt Ryan. And you took my, I didn't say it because I try to be above this. But you said, shut up, Chris.
Sorry, in your ear.
And that's exactly what I thought. Shut up. Eagles down 10-6. But here's the play of the game in my eye. I still go back to this play. Because they're down 10-6. And Foles throws a duck. A quacker. That's about to, I think, croak the birds. But take a listen to what happens.
Second and eight.
You have a big receiver in Alshon Jeffrey if you wanted to try and get one down the field.
Foles gets it down the field. Look out. And it is deflected and caught by Torrey Smith. He gets to the 50 only. And now they're going to have to take their final timeout or clock it. And they do. They take a timeout here. So that was deflected by Keanu Neal and then volleyball back to Torrey Smith.
And final timeout.
Completely misjudged it, trying to make the interception. I think his knee shot it back the other direction. Well, we are in Pennsylvania. It wasn't quite the immaculate reception, but very bizarre. It hits his knee and shoots it back in play.
I'd swear if the ball's picked off, they lose the game. And I don't know how it wasn't picked off. Amazing. It was divine intervention. And they continued because they're down 10-6. There's 7 seconds left midfield. And somehow they get in field goal range.
They send Julio Jones back to play defense here.
Guarantee you, he won't hit it with his feet.
Jeffrey steps out of bounds, so there's 1 second, and they can send in the field goal group. So Elliott comes in. Elliott, in week three, kicked a 61-yarder against the Giants to win the game.
Let's check the play clock here. Good call. Yeah, the game clock just said 1 second, so here we go.
That's a little home field advantage.
All right, you ready? Way home field advantage. But here's Elliott. Missing the extra point earlier, but like he did against the Giants in a big moment earlier that year, is clutch.
So this one, 53 yards for Jake Elliott, a rookie. This is two, and Elliott, who has missed an extra point, bangs one through.
What a turn of events after that ball was kneed by the Atlanta Falcons.
Crazy stuff, Dan the half. Look at that. Spinning through the wind. And over. So we go to the half. It's Atlanta 10 and Philadelphia 9.
Are you kidding me? Wow. 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 Third quarter now. Falcons, Birds. Scoreless on their first two possessions. Atlanta, remember, it's 10-9. Atlanta at the 44 of the Eagles. It's 3rd and 5. Huge play as they're on the cusp of field goal range. Take a listen.
Well, I tell you, you just get the feeling field goals are going to win it or lose it here in this one, and they're getting close to range.
Well, now the difference in the game is a missed extra point. Brian, under pressure, down he goes at the 46-yard line. Nigel Branham knocks him down, and it's fourth down.
We talked about Branham before, but here we go. They have been faking this look. They really don't want the center, Alex Mack, to go help on those other pass rushers. That time they have to slide over there to the pass rushers, and it forces Devontae Freeman to block Branham. And he just couldn't get it done.
Wow. Wowie, wowie, wowie. That's right. All right. What a play, right? Eagles take over on offense. Foles steps up here. And who's he find? The Rat.
Well, for Nick Foles, it was a bit of a slow start tonight. But he clearly has sort of got himself settled back in. And I think, Al, it was some of those RPOs, you know, those run-pass options. Remember, Chip Kelly was here. It was his first year, Foles' second year. Taught him that whole system. And that seems to be his comfort level now coming back. And so maybe we look for one here.
Wentz was more likely to run out of the run-pass options. Meanwhile, here you get the pass that's caught. And a first down gained by Alshon Jeffrey out to the 21-yard line.
Right now, Doug Peterson has to be saying, all right, if I need to throw it, I'm throwing an RPO.
From the gun to the 21. Another one. That pass is caught. And that's going to be a gain of 12. Foles steps up to get away from McKinley and then finds the open man, Jeffrey, down the sideline. Big conversion. First down at the Atlanta 44.
Wow, wow. How about it? All right, Eagles get three, huge three on that, to take the lead. Now, here's more Nick at the start of the fourth quarter. You ready? Take a listen.
Third down and 7. Swing the pass out to Ajayi. And Ajayi breaks free and takes it all the way to midfield. He had Kelsey leading the way. The center. It's about as good as it gets forcing Alfred down the field. The four wide here. Three receivers set to the right. Foles goes to the left, and he hits Zach Ertz. So another big third down conversion, this one to the 34-yard line. Look at those numbers. 20 out of 27 after a shaky start. 226 yards. Ryan has 149 tonight. 10 and a half. Sideline and go out of bounds at the 24-yard line, very close to a first down.
All right, so another Jake field goal. It's now 15-10 Eagles. Of course, the game's not over, and the Falcons get inside the 10. I remember yesterday, they're driving down the field, whoosh, whoosh, penalty, big play. You're at the first and goal after a pass interference at the Eagles' 9-yard line. Here we go. First and goal. Take a listen.
Ball is at the 9-yard line. Eagles can stop the clock once. Atlanta twice. Tevin Coleman, by the way, has had some night. They've held Freeman in check, but Coleman's been the main man. He's in the backfield. Second down and goal.
This is sort of the classic Jim Schwartz, what he does on the goal line. Here, Darby lines up about 6 or 7 yards off, but he's not going to move much. He is not going to react over the top. Sees this high thrown ball and just makes the play. But anytime Julio, they leave him one-on-one, they're going to give it a shot.
I'm nervous. Second down and goal sounded like this.
Second and goal. And a little shovel in the middle, and that is incomplete. What was that?
It was just a pure shovel screen, whatever it was you want to call it. But nicely played there by Vinny Curry. I don't know how he saw that, but watch this. This was one of those kind of took your breath away, and I think sure. It surprised Ward. Because going from a downward position to an upward trajectory, we kind of lost track of it.
All right. It's third and goal. Eagles clinging to a 15-10 lead. Here's how third down sounded.
Third and goal. So the clock does not go under the minute mark. It's 1:02, and you've got fourth down coming up.
Well, you see how far inside Darby's playing. It's a good throw. Maybe if it had been a little higher, you give a big guy like Julio Jones a chance to drive his way into the end zone.
Oh, I'm dying! Clock won't matter. The whole game comes down to this play from just outside the Eagles' 2-yard line on a blustery January day. Ah, go for it!
They converted on a 4th and 6 earlier on this drive. Here we go, in all likelihood. I don't want to say it's the game, but it's pretty darn close.
Jalen Mills, who has come so far here in his second year, he falls down. Now watch, Julio going to get it up. Ryan still wants it, and they can't quite get the completion.
sure would have come down in bounds anyway. Well, there he is.
Oh, rejoice! That's right, Nat. Here's how it is, and here's how the game ended with the Eagles.
So the number one seed is going to advance.
Falcons.
And the number six seed will go home. And not often do you say the number one seed wins and it's an upset. But that was the case then.
And you have to ultimately give credit to Jim Schwartz and this defense to hold the Atlanta Falcons to 10 points in a playoff game. It was borderline remarkable. When they had to have a play, they got it.
They got it from Foles. And it was easy to say all you had to do is run the ball and play good defense. But you needed a couple of plays from your quarterback. And they got them. The defense was terrific. Atlanta's only points came off of two turnovers. And the resilient Philadelphia Eagles host the NFC Championship game here. This is the first playoff win for the Eagles since the 2008 season.
Wow, what a game. By the way, did it sound like Al was a bit disappointed? Like, he had Large on the Falcons?
Yeah, he goes,
Tyrone said yes, too.
The one seed moves on, but they were the underdog. He was
dude, did you load up on Atlanta or what? And that was it. What a great day. Oh, man, awesome. Tomorrow, we will relive the championship game against the Vikings and the Creeps from Minnesota. Cannot wait for that. But listen, life's coming at us hard these days, right? We go 100 miles an hour, feel stressed, we're exhausted, we're run down, we're dehydrated, get headaches, body aches, the whole thing. We're also trying to work overtime to protect ourselves from getting sick and the virus, right? I got a positive way to recharge and refuel. Listen to me. Exceva Vitamin Infusion Therapy. I'm going in today, in fact. I can't wait. You know, it's unbelievable. Imagine flooding your body with the vitamins and nutrients, amino acids, and hydration that you need to boost your immune system, elevate your mood, elevate your energy level, and replenish your reserves. It's amazing, this Exceva. I love it. I'm going to go today. I can't wait. I feel like I need it. I haven't had it for a couple weeks. Imagine, we're talking vitamins, nutrients, hydration, administered by a board-certified nurse at one of these Exceva's modern infusion suites. Amazing. It takes like 45 minutes. Tremendous. You'll feel great. Tell I recharge now. To learn more about Exceva Vitamin Therapies, visit Exceva, A-X-I-V-A, Exceva.com. That's Exceva.com. Exceva, replenish, recharge, relief.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.